check yourself before you wreck yourself is what they used to say back in the day when I came up. And we said it with a certain kind of attitude. You know what I mean? Check yourself before you wreck yourself. I think that would be applicable to this sermon here. Matthew 7, verse 13 through 16. I'm going to take my time this morning. We don't have a screen, but you do have your Bibles. I will be mostly in the King James Version. If I switch versions, I will let you know. Not because of any particular reason, but just because I'm going to be clear this morning. Wake up. Here we go. Enter ye at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous or raving wolves. Verse 16 says, and ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? I'm going to speak to you this morning from the title, Choose Wisely. Choose Wisely. Imagine running into two different signs that say this way to heaven. One sign is big. One sign is small. One sign is huge with neon lights around it and very well promoted. And the other sign is hidden. It's tucked away. You have to search for it. Which way do you take? In Matthew, the 7th chapter, Jesus is coming to the conclusion of his Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount, basically, let me generally summarize it this way, a little differently than some of you may hear. He's like, blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they. And everybody's like, ooh, I like that part. And then towards the end, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus really, through the whole sermon, is really, if you really look at it in context, he's presenting two ways to God. Two different beliefs as to how to get to heaven. But only one of them will actually get you there. One belief is where you present yourself to God in your own goodness. And the other belief is where you acknowledge that you have no goodness of your own to present. Either you believe that you have something to contribute towards saving yourself, or you realize that you have nothing to contribute at all. I caution you, this sermon is no joke. It's not what I'm going to say, it's the text. You are responsible for what is said today. In your hearing, you will be held accountable for this day. So pay attention. This sermon rocked me. This passage and looking under the hood rocked me. Amen? One belief is based on what Jesus said, and the other, with all of its many variations, sums up all the other religions and human creativity all together. So there's really only two different categories of belief as to how you get into heaven, and there's nothing in the middle. There are only two destinations, heaven or hell. Nothing in the middle. We either believe the way of salvation that God has made, or we believe all the other religions of mankind that man has made up. Which inevitably comes down to each individual making a choice as to whether or not they will obey what Jesus is saying or whether or not they will try another suggestion. Whether or not we will obey what Jesus said or whether or not we really believe there are other options. All right, ready? Matthew 7, verse 13. Here we go. Help me, Holy Spirit. Enter ye at the straight gate. I want you to notice two words there, the word enter and the word straight. And I want you to notice how the word straight is spelled. If you have your King James Version, the word straight is missing G. Okay? A different kind of straight. Okay? All right? Not straight meaning the opposite of crooked. But straight meaning narrow. A narrow passage or entrance. And something that hit me this morning as I looked a little deeper, straight doesn't just mean, ooh, Lord. Doesn't just mean enter into the narrow entrance or the narrow passage. Straight also has this meaning. A situation characterized by a specific, or specified rather, degree of trouble or difficulty. So Jesus is saying, the gate to heaven is narrow. It's something that I'm struggling with because I know this is right, but it's hit me. The way that the gate to heaven is narrow and the gate to heaven is hard. There's difficulty. It was easy to be saved. Not quite. The first thing we need to notice is the word enter. That's how it starts off. Enter at the straight gate. This command is given to us not as a suggestion. The emphasis is enter. Enter now. I know that you think you have more important things to do first. Many things on your list. But it's a command. The command is go through the gate right now. Go through the gate as soon as you can. Get in the gate. Go in the gate. Enter. It's not a suggestion. Amen? If you haven't already entered into that gate, that narrow, hard gate, now is the time. The time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Now, enter into the gate. It's a command. Amen? Jesus is not saying, look at the gate from the outside. When you have directions, directions are there for a reason. The directions are there for you to follow. When someone says to you, to way to get to my house, this is how you go. You can't just go any kind of way you want to. Enter in the gate right now. Amen? The directions must be followed. Jesus is not saying, be intrigued by the gate. Study the gate. Woo! He commands that you must go through the gate. Enter the gate. And you must choose the right gate. Because refusal to do so is disobedience. If you go through the wrong gate, you have by default disobeyed God. Yeah. Now, Jesus says that the right gate is narrow. Let's just pull that out a little bit. It's not built for crowds. We all don't come in at the same time. It's a tight gate. Okay? To get in, it's tight. It's narrow. Which means that only one person can come through at a time, but not only that, you must go through believing a specific thing. The entrance is not big enough for everybody's religion. My goodness, Lord, your timing. The entrance is not big enough for every belief that you want to have. All the other faiths and beliefs are too fat to get in. That's what I said. What's this? John 1:12. Find it. John. Say John 1:12. When you have it, say amen. But as many as received him, to them he gave, to them that have received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, the family of God, the accepted ones of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Who are we talking about? Jesus Christ. This thing is specific. It's narrow. Amen? John 3:16. We know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, it's not including everybody. The offer goes to everyone. But it's the whosoever that believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen? Acts 4:12. Find it. Kind of like the screen not being up. Acts 4:12 says this, neither is there salvation in any other. Woo! For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You, salvation is not some option. Jesus is saying you must be born again. You must be saved. And he's saying there's only one way, only one name that's going to allow you to have salvation. The gate is narrow because only the ones that believe in Jesus fit through the gate. You can't take any other religion with you. Woo! That is a slap in the face to the one who gave his only son for you. I gave him that my very best, my son Jesus Christ, but will this do? No! It's an insult. Are you hearing me? John 14:6, write it down. If you don't have your Bible, sit next to someone who does. Important. This is important. Help me, Holy Spirit. John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, what you have to understand is Jesus at the Sermon on the Mount, back in Matthew 7, he's talking to Jews. He's talking to the Jews who believed that they were all going to heaven just because they were some distant spin-off relative of Abraham. Okay? I can trace my heritage, my family tree. I looked it up on the computer, and me and Abraham, we got reconnected. Okay? Promises given to Abraham, and I'm in. And all I gotta do is just obey God's law. And I'm a very religious person. Very religious. So, listen. The idea is, in their mind, connected to Abraham obeying the law, the commands of God, and they were guaranteed heaven. But they couldn't obey. They didn't do it. So, depending on their own goodness, or their good works would never please God. Their self-righteousness was sending them straight to hell. Well, I do good things, Pastor. Not good enough. But I only messed up a few times, Pastor. Straight to hell. But I'm a good, decent person. I pay my taxes. No, you don't understand. I gave that money back to him. I have never slept around. I'm just not that kind of a girl. I did take a few quarters off my dad's desk one time when he, but I was little. That was straight to hell. Perfect is perfect. Imperfect is imperfect. God is perfect. None of us. None of us. All of us have sinned. We have all fallen short. None of us have been perfect. We, and I say it again, some of us, if you're like me, have proved it this week. The way you was talking to your cousin, all bad. The way you were thinking about your husband, all bad. Huh? All bad. The way you was about to curse out your kids, all bad. Jesus paid for all that. He was like, all that. My sin was on his shoulders. Okay? Huh? The narrow gate. The gate is narrow, and depending on Jesus Christ and his saving blood that paid for your sins is the only way. When Jesus died, he took your place. He died at Calvary on the cross, gave his life for you and I, because he knew, just like we know, that we've missed it. We've missed the mark. We've been off just that much, and some of us have been way over here. I'm trying to hit that, but I'm... Okay? So his resurrection from the dead is what we also believe in. Why? Because that proves that God was satisfied with Jesus Christ. I'm satisfied with your sacrifice. I pay for the sin of the world, Jesus says, and then I get up. You raise me up, and I go back to sit at the right hand of the Father that's letting us know that Jesus Christ has paid for it all. His blood was enough. More than enough for the sins of the whole world. Every last one. Think about your 70s. All of it. For me, the 90s. So, any other gate that is suggested other than the person of Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, the good news or the gospel of Jesus Christ, by grace through faith alone, any other gate that is suggested will lead you straight to hell. Your works, my works, nobody else's works are good enough. God sent Jesus for a reason. If somebody else could have done it, he would have never come. We've all proven that we needed a Savior. Amen? Yeah. The gate is narrow also because you can't take everyone with you and you can't take everything with you. Just like you were born naked, you're born again with nothing. We all come through the room at one time. We don't have anything with us. Nobody comes with suitcases and... That's graphic. You don't come through the womb, huh? With a bunch of homies with you? No, 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 no. You don't come into the gate with all your buddies. The truth of the matter is some of them would not want to come through. Amen? Jesus said your enemies will be right in your own house. Your family may not agree with you. And Jesus is so emphatic about it. See, that's the thing. When we have these salvation appeals to people, some of that stuff is not biblical. Jesus almost seemed, if you really read the gospel, it almost seemed like Jesus was saying, I'm daring you to count the cost of this. It almost seemed as if he was trying to push people away to know who was really serious. That's the truth. That's Jesus. That's the whole picture of Jesus. Okay?
So he's saying that if you love your friends and your family even more than me, you're not even worthy of his kingdom. That's what he's saying. You love them more than you love Jesus, you're not worthy of the kingdom. You don't understand the value of what you're being offered. Woo! You can't go in with, you know, your saved Christian church attending grandma. The entrance is too narrow for her to vouch for you. She can't help you. I talked to a brother who said, you know, I know the Lord. Okay, so how often do you go to church? How much you read your Bible? How much blah, 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 blah. I don't do any of that. But my grandma. And I had the guts to say to him, do you realize that you and your grandmother are more than likely in two different places eternally? Here's the cold part about it. There's no tears in heaven. There's no crying in heaven. She won't miss you. Because we're in... I'm with Jesus. That's all I care about. That's cold, but it's true. So your grandmama cannot get you in. That's the word. You come in alone. The entrance is narrow. Can't bring everybody. Can't bring everything. The entrance is narrow. You can't take all your worldly stuff with you. You're going to have to leave your worldly stuff behind. All of your worldly comforts don't go with you. No, no. All that stuff that would cause you the stuff that would cause you to be liked and popular by everybody, the things that we push for and the things that we really go for, all the preoccupation with the various talent shows that we all put on to get others to approve of us, all that stuff gets checked at the gate. You can't live for that anymore. You can't live for it. You must live for Christ. Wanting to be in the in crowd must be left at the gate. Why? Because more than likely, those folks are at the other gate.
Oh boy.
Second part of this, Matthew 7 again, says this. For wide is the gate. Spacious entrance. And broad is the way. That leadeth to destruction. And many there be that which go in thereat. The crowd is at the other gate. That's what he's saying. He's saying everybody that's not a Christian, that's not a believer, they're at the other gate. That's why that gate is big. When I want to go into a major city, they make sure, because they want all your money, they make sure that you could get in easily. It's why. When you want to go to a private party, you may not even know. Because you slip in. See? Huh? I remember all the time when we used to do concerts, thank you, Lord, the crowd would come in from various entrances. But there was this thing called the green room, the VIP.
That's right.
No, no, no. We had some big dudes. And they're going to make sure. Big bolo looking. Nah, you ain't coming up in here, bro. Not on the list. We don't know you. You can't get in here. This is a private affair here. There's always the crowd and there's the private party. You see what I'm saying? He says, the gate is wide. And the crowd is always at that gate. Because the other gate gives you more options. You can go in just as you are and not give up anything. You don't have to make any changes. There's no demands on you. You don't have to repent of anything. You don't have to turn from any sin. You can still go to heaven. Because that's what the sign says. This way to heaven. Come on. You don't need to live holy. You can still go to heaven. You can believe anything that you want. Still go to heaven. You can even believe strange spinoffs of Christianity. and still go to heaven. Don't see it nowhere in your Bible, but whoo, we Christians. Huh? No need to hold on to any specific doctrines. Huh? Any doctrine will do. The sign says, come on. You can go to heaven. I believe Jesus said this. Well, I believe Jesus said that. I believe Jesus allows this. I believe Jesus is okay with that. Well, come on, everybody. Just like Michael and Diana, let's ease on down the road. Just ease on down, don't you? Hey, not nothing. It's going ease on down, down the road. Why? We allow everything because the Bible's just too difficult to understand. It's too hard to obey. Let's just go ahead and tolerate everybody and everything. Uh-huh. Let's just ease on down, hee-hee down the road. Just be all over the place with your doctrine. Because not only is the gate wide, you can get in there any kind of way. The way is wide. The road. Just wide. Huh? Verse 14 says this. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Whoa, watch this though. And few there be that find it. And oh, man. What are you saying? Jesus, what are you saying? This is Jesus talking here, y'all. It's hard to find this gate. Why? In fact, if you're going too fast, you might miss the entrance. Huh? You got to think this thing through. You got to be searching for it. Huh? Diligently. Listen, I got to get this sin and this judgment off my... It's a burden on me. I got to get it off me. I'm diligently looking for the way out. I am aware that I have a problem with God. The Holy Spirit is pricking me, messing with me. I'm aware that I have a problem with God. So I got to get this off me. I'm going to take my time to get myself out of this situation. How do I do it? Well, how do I enter? I'm looking for the way. What is the way? I know you made a way. I can't do it myself, God. Well, I know you made a way. If you're going too fast, see, with the wide gate, you ain't got to worry about that. Just get on, go in and go in. Mm-hmm. He said there be few that find it. Uh-huh. There are many churches out there, but not all of them are telling you the truth. Let me ask you a question. Just think to yourself. How many religious teaching did you hear about before you actually heard the truth? Woo! Go down memory lane. How many Christian churches did you attend before you actually really heard the truth? Oh, that's scary. Uh-huh. There'd be few that find it. Huh? The enemy makes it hard to find the narrow gate because he over-promotes his counterfeit gates. He over-promotes it all over the world. He presents so many ways to God that are not true. But not only that, once you find the right gate, let's go a little deeper. It's not just hard to find it, it's hard to go through it. Uh-huh. He said the second part is not just narrow, it's straight, not just meaning narrow, it's straight as in difficulty, it's hard. Hard? What do you mean, Pastor? Luke 13, 24. Luke 13, 24. There's that word again. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Okay? So watch this. Strive, to enter at the what? Straight gate. There it is again. Strive to enter at the narrow, straight gate, the difficult gate. Strive. That word means to agonize. He said, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in that gate once they found it and shall not be able. Ooh. Once you know the truth, you still have to accept it. The truth is, the truth is going to mess with your pride. The truth will mess with your independent thinking. The truth is, will tell you, yes, even you need a Savior. The narrow gate, the straight gate, the difficult gate means leaving your old self, your former self, behind at the gate. You check the old you at the gate. You can't take your old you and have it survive through the gate. No. God's going to be chipping at that thing as you go. What are you saying, Pastor? And many people don't want to leave themselves behind. Woo! They'd rather have Jesus remodel them than make them new. See, here's the truth. I'll go through the gate if I can dictate to God which parts of me that I get to keep. God, let me tell you how this is going to go. I know you God and all, but let me tell you how we're going to do this. You see this area right here? We don't touch this. You hear me? That's mine. You can mess with everything else. We don't touch anything else. Okay? Truth is me and you, we want rulership of our lives. I want to sit on a throne of my heart and tell me what to do. I want to be king. Many people get to the gate, and one of the reasons why it's so hard is because they decide that they like pieces of Jesus' sermons. But they can't go through the gate because they realize the cost. The entrance is hard. I don't know about you, but since I've been saved, it's one thing after another. I've been holding on. No! Jesus! Don't take it! No! Let go, JD. No! Can I just hold it? I just want it. It's a part of who I am. I need this. Let it go, Jamie. No. Yeah. Come on, it's not that. No. Jamie, let it go. That's the truth. The bottom line is once you go through the gate, the reason why it's hard is because you got to let go of you. That's hard, people. Watch this. Matthew 11, 12. I'll prove it to you. It's all over the Bible. If we get our eyes off of what we really want from Jesus, we'll actually see what he's saying. And that's the trick. We got to move past our greed to really, really hear. Okay? Matthew 11, 12. He says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. What does that mean? Those who desperately, violently go after the kingdom are the ones that actually get it. Those who are willing to give up all that they possess for the kingdom are the ones that are actually in the kingdom. Watch this. Even some of our hopes and our dreams. Oh. That's why the rich young ruler said, no, thank you. I asked a question about eternal life, but I really don't want it. Why? Because I really want what I already got. No, thank you. This is major, people. Jesus is at the gate. He is the gate. You got to come through him. It's Jesus. It's not you. Amen? You're violently going after the kingdom to the point you're just so desperate to be saved from hell, so desperate to be saved from sin that you cry out to be delivered even from you. My goodness. You violently go after the kingdom. You take it by, you seize it. This is not about raising your hand at an altar and then saying a little prayer. This is about realizing that those who have possessed the kingdom, not earned it, but those who have possessed the kingdom realize that it has cost them everything. Let that simmer for a minute. It's a major statement. Everything. Everything in you, the reason why it's violent is everything in you naturally will tell you you don't need it. Everything in you naturally will fight against what Jesus is saying. Everything in you will want to hold on to the old you. It's the truth. That's why it's such a violent fight. I got to fight against me. And that takes supernatural power because I can't do it. That's the proof that the Holy Spirit is at work. Huh? Oh, come on, somebody. Look, Jeremiah 29:13. Just write down because I got to move. Says this. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. That's what Jesus is saying. He's been saying, the Bible's been talking about this for a long time, even in the Old Testament. When you got something else in front of Jesus, going into that gate, more than likely he had not entered. When you decide, no matter how I feel, I know this is what I need to do. I know this is what I must do. I must submit to what Jesus is saying. I must agree with the word of God. I must agree with him. I must do this. I must go through. It's going to cost me everything. I don't have a choice. I must go through. When you seek with all your heart, that's what Jeremiah is saying. He said, you will find God when you seek with all your heart. That's big, people. That's huge. That's seeking past my agenda. My goodness. The sad reality is this. The truth is, we are all born into sin. So whatever we're thinking that we should hold on to that keeps us from going through the gate is something that is incorrectly calculated. What are you saying, Pastor? We overvalue what it's like to stand outside the gate and undervalue what it's like to go through the gate. Ah, our calculator is off. The numbers are wrong. Why? Because sin messed up my mind. I can't see clearly. I'm adding up stuff and it doesn't make sense. To my human mind, I go, no, stay outside the gate. Just listen to Jesus and study what he's saying. Have Bible studies, but don't go through. Because I overcalculate that it's better for me outside of where it's safe than inside. Where it is safe, but yet it will cost me. I have valued the wrong thing because sin messes up my mind. Nobody has the ability to do that calculation without the Holy Spirit. You're overestimating your ability to see clearly when you don't recognize that you are in sin without Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, you can't see. You can't add. You can't subtract. You can't do none of that. Duh. I see things wrong. That's the truth. That's the humility of it. That's why it's so hard to go through the gate. I have to humble myself. He's talking about, it's hard for a rich man to go into the kingdom. He said, the eye of the needle. That's what he said. For a camel to pass through the eye of the needle. What does that mean? It means the camel has to stoop to get in. You have to humble yourself. You can't come in like this. No, you come in like, okay, thank God. Woo. It's humility. That's what it really is. That's what he's saying. The going through the narrow gate, the tight to get in, the difficult gate means you've decided to deny yourself. You're taking up the cross. You're basically saying this is suicide. That's why it's hard. It's the cross. It's letting yourself go. Your flesh will try its best to hang on to sinful pleasures, but you have to decide. And Jesus, he put the decision to the people. Oh, what must we do? How do I get in with you? How am I down with you? Do you realize I don't even have a place to lay my head? He was saying stuff like that. Son of man don't even have a... I don't have accommodations. Look at me. I'm not rich. Huh? There's no Bishop Cadillac that I rode here. No, no. Look at Jesus. You really want this? You need to know what it's going to cost you. You gain everything, but you got to know you do. That's it. Huh? Now, back to Matthew 7, 15. Wherever there are sheep and shepherds. Now, let me say it differently. Wherever there are sheep, there will be shepherds. But sheep also attract wolves. Oh, yeah. They also attract wolves. Jesus says this. Matthew 7, 15. Look at it, people. Beware of false prophets. All right, here we go. This doesn't mean beware of folks that speak future events. It's not what the actual term of false prophets means here. Okay? Let me break this down for you. The word beware means, watch this, people. Look at me when I do this. It's the idea of if it were possible to reach into your brain, your skull, tear away everything, crack it open, and take your brain and hold it away in safety. What do you mean, Pastor? It's the picture of, in the prophets, the word prophets means people who speak forth the word of God. So this phrase literally means, Jesus is literally saying, hold your mind away from the people that I did not send to speak things that I did not say. Whoa! Hold your mind away. Protect your own mind from the people that I did not send. They don't work for me. They don't belong to me. I don't know them. Who are saying things I did not say. Enter into the narrow gate. It's hard. It's not the wide road. That road leads to destruction. That's the road where everybody's on. They have all kinds of religion, all kinds of things that they agree with, all kinds of tolerance for sin, all kinds of belief systems. That's wrong. And beware of the false prophets. Hold your mind away from them. Woo! Jesus doesn't just stop there. He intensifies. If you're looking at your Bible, he intensifies the warning by saying this. The false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. That refers to the outward garb that the sheep have or the shepherds would have. It's the characteristic of your outward presentation. How I present myself to you. I present myself as a typical shepherd. What is he saying? Think of it this way. If you were trying to play a trick on someone, you wouldn't make your trick obvious. You would try as hard as you can to make your trick extremely subtle. You would do whatever it takes. You would make it so whatever the person is seeing that you're tricking, it's not easy to detect what you're doing. Right? Uh-huh. In other words, don't expect Satan to show up in a red suit with a pitchfork. No. That's not who he is. That's not how he operates. But don't be surprised if he shows up in a three-piece suit carrying a Bible with a theology degree. That's what Jesus is saying. That's scary. I need some water. Somebody give some water. Never mind. Oh. All right. I need you to understand something, people. Jesus said, beware. In other words, be aware. Be cautious. Hold your minds from the false prophet. What is he saying here? He said, I need you to understand that Satan is not proactively going after people he already has in his grip. You need to understand that. Okay? He's busy going after people that he hasn't caught and totally imprisoned yet. I spent a lot of time in my younger years of pastoring, as old as I am pastoring now, preaching against the club. The truth of the matter is, a club was not the most dangerous place nowadays. Be careful. I'm not saying go there tomorrow.
Pastor said it wasn't that bad up in here.
That's not what I said. What I'm saying is this. Satan's biggest demons are not in the club holding people captive. No. That's his imps. Okay? His biggest demons are in the church. And I don't mean the choir members mostly. I don't mean the deacons. I'm talking about the pulpit. Oh, it's the teaching. It's the teaching. That's what you got to be careful. Listen. They are teaching the podcast that you've been listening to. Woo. They are running the Facebook Live Bible study that you think is so great. The demons wrote the latest book about God that you got off the shelf. The most dangerous book is not at the secular bookstore. The most dangerous book is in the Christian bookstore. Because the thing that is said to you that you know is wrong is not as dangerous as the thing that's said to you that you can't tell is wrong. That's the scary thing that we're dealing with today. Am I right about that, Dave? It's wrapped up in a Christian-looking book cover. It's in the Christian bookstore located at your church lobby. That's where you got to be careful. There's some stuff I read that was like in the beginning. I was like, yes, this is what we're going to do. And it was like, now I'm like, oh, my goodness. What was I thinking? That's not what Jesus said. I made a lot of mistakes going with trends. Great sounding church building ideas that would make me look good, but not necessarily shine a light on our good Savior. Make you feel like, oh, we really doing something. Our church is popping. The demons are in the men and women that say slightly different things than what Jesus actually said, to convince you that there is another gate and there is another way. They present themselves as Christians, but they don't even know God. Jeremiah 23:16. Jeremiah 23:16. Let's type it right, Lord. Jeremiah 23:16 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain." He's saying they actually cater to your own vanity. They are getting fat off of what you really want. They fill you with false hopes. Vain also meaning futile, pointless. Results in nothing. Sounds good, but there is nothing that really comes with any substantive value. They speak a vision. That word is a fancy word for the communication from God to his people. But they're saying they speak a vision of their own heart, not out of the mouth of the Lord. In other words, what they're saying, God did not tell them. They came up with it from their own heart. There's motives and agendas and stuff behind this stuff. And we can't tell what it is. Jeremiah 14:14. Quickly. Same book. Jeremiah 14:14. Jeremiah 14:14. When you have it, say amen. The Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false, there it is again, vision. Divine communication, message from God. And divination, a thing of naught. And deceit, the deceit of their heart. He's saying, this vision doesn't come from me. This communication does not come from me. They're lying to you. Wow. You got all their tapes. All their CDs. You're subscribing to their channel. This brother can show enough preach. Oh, that's something about him. There sure is. There sure is. He just tickles me, gives me, Some people flock to hear preachers that preach more feel-good messages, and they are looking for church to feel better. Why isn't Pastor Jamie preaching feel-good, man? I mean, every Sunday. Come on, man. What's wrong with him? When can we have a lighter, fluffy Sunday? I need some fluff. Every time I walk out there, I'm told to do something. Every time I walk out there, I'm told to be like something. Every time I walk out there, I'm told to give up something. I mean, every Sunday, what's wrong with this Hawkins? He has a problem. Every Sunday? Where did he get this from? The Bible. I have no agenda. I'll be honest with you. I never wanted to do this. So I'm not going to compromise. I'm not like, ooh, I'm going to have a big church. I hope I keep a big church. I was like, I don't want a pastor. How about that? So now that I'm here, I'm going to tell you what the book is, what the book says. I'm going to tell you what the Lord says, okay? Here we go. What we need to understand, staying in the context of Jeremiah for one second. If Jeremiah was interesting, we need to understand that there are seasons, or there were seasons, thank you, when Israel was walking closer to God in repentance and obedience. And then there were also seasons where they were rebelling against God and falling all into kinds of deep sin and doing things that God hated and believing things that God did not agree with. Okay? So what are you saying that for, Pastor? You need to recognize what season you were born into. Take stock of the season. Turn on the news and tell me what kind of preacher do you think God is going to raise up at this time? Bless the Lord. I need to feel something. I need to feel happy. No, you need to pick up your Bible so you can discern the truth between the truth and the lie and just be happy you're saved. Just be happy that God gave you the Holy Spirit to discern the times. This is not the time when everybody's obeying God. Look at what's happening. This is the time when a multitude of people are falling away. I used to ask God, why did you call me to this time? I wanted to be preaching in the 70s. This is crazy. People don't know what they want to be. Don't know what they want to call themselves. I went to a burrito shop and some girl had somehow made it so she could have horns sticking out of her head. She looked like looked like a little demon with a burrito. I said, this is insane. And she's just like. And I've got my kids and my kids are going. And she just, it's a very different time, people. What do you think? What kind of preacher is God going to send? Wake up. That's when God sends Jeremiah to warn the sheep. To hear his voice. So they can be on the lookout. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. I'm just going to keep going. Almost done. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. My goodness. Transforming themselves. By the way, God didn't transform you. You transformed yourself. Transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And then he adds this. Paul says this. And no marvel or no wonder. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. See, what he's saying is the one that they really work for is the original father of lies. Because this is what he did. He transformed himself into an angel of light. Light, that outward. You see what I'm saying? He looks good. Looks inviting. They look saved. Every time I see him, I feel something from the Lord. They say a lot. Outward appearance of light. What are you saying? Satan knows how to present himself in a way that will deceive the sheep. And the people that are not saved have the same ability, no matter how much of the Bible they know. Got to be careful. John 10:27 says this, and you know it, trust me, write it down, but you know it. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The sheep must be equipped to make the right choice as to whether they will hear and follow the shepherd or be lured away by the wolves. How do you do that? You must, as my dad used to say, know the word of God for yourself. There it is. You can shout, tear this church up, get happy, win the lottery in Jesus' name, and still be tricked. Because you don't know the word for yourself. And the demons and the wolves are counting on that. He said, my sheep know my voice, and another voice they will not follow. Why? Because they know the word of God. Be careful before you are too quick to assume that you have the power or the ability on your own to identify what a wolf is. You don't have that power or ability on your own. You cannot resist the wolf on your own. Because why? The wolf has an advantage. The wolf is saying everything that my flesh wants to hear. That's the truth. If I was totally honest with you, you know, have it your way like in Burger King. You can do what you want, Jamie. Come on, do it. It's on the popping, Doc. Do you think? Okay? They already know that your flesh agrees with them. Everything in you will want to follow them unless there's someone greater that's in you. And that's true. You really only have one defense, and that is knowing your shepherd's voice. You will follow somebody's voice. Right there. There's that humility moment that we've got to get to. If you look at your track record, you followed some other voices now, didn't you? This is what everybody's doing. This is what everybody's doing. It's on the wide road. This is it. This is what I've been looking for. God, this is what God is like. I haven't read one scripture, but this is what they told me he was like. You know the shepherd's voice only by remembering what he said, but that's not it. By agreeing with what you remember and by obeying what you remember. Because let's face it, Eve remembered what God said, but she didn't do what God said. She gotta go. Matthew 7:15 says this. Beware of the false teacher. They come in sheep clothing. They put on sheep clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Raving wolves. Now, the sheep are a picture of innocence, but mainly an animal that is considered to be harmless. Okay? Nobody in their right mind is in the same area, let alone 20 feet of a wolf. You'd have to be crazy to be that close to a wolf. So in order for the wolf to have any success in what he's trying to do or accomplish, the wolf has to present themselves in a way to where you consider putting your guard down. The only way people get comfortable with a wolf is if they can't tell that they're a wolf. Wolves are not harmless. Nobody trains wolves. Wolves are wolves, and they feed on immature, unstable, and gullible people that don't know the Word of God. It's as simple as that. Jesus said, beware. Hold your mind away from. Now, let's bring this to a close. How then, Pastor, do I detect a false prophet? Very easy. Jesus said, real simple. Verse 16 says, Matthew 7:16 says, and ye shall know them by their fruits. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Detecting the false prophet. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes, thorns, and figs? But does, I think if we're going to just stop it, you should know them by their fruits. Just stop there for now. That's all the time we got. Let me explain something to you. Wolves howl. You may not be able to tell a wolf by how they dress. By how they present themselves in the public. But if you know the word, you will know the sound of a howl. Got it. Thus saith the Lord. No. No, that's not what thus saith. That's not what he said. He didn't say that. And people just, that man can preach. Let me tell you what it is. Here's the fruit. When the message is man-centered and not God-centered. When it's all about what you get and not what God wants. When it's all about your grocery list that you want from God, your toy list that you want from God, your add-ons to your comfortable life. What's going to make things better for me or easier for me? That's very man-centered. You don't have to. It's okay. Get all you want, honey. Why you care? Huh? Do it. Be you. Just do it. Huh? Advertise. All that stuff. It sounds just like the false prophet. That's the wolf. Man-centered message instead of God-centered. God is saying, walk away. Walk away. Walk away. You don't need that. That's not, no, you have me. No, you're going to go into debt. Cut that out now. He's not the one. She ain't it. Huh? No, you can't do that right now. I love you. Don't you? Am I not enough? Come on. Huh? Give glory to God. Don't promote yourself like that. The glory belongs to me. It's not about you. I know they don't like you. They didn't like me either. It's okay. No, you're not going to be very popular here. I'm sending you to speak the word and say what needs to be said, and then they're probably not going to like you. But it's okay. It's okay. Because remember, they killed me. But I got up. It's over you. Very gossip, glorify God. Whatsoever you do, glorify God. That's the God message. Okay? The road that they promote is wide and easy. It has many options. You can get any kind of way. You can do whatever you want and still feel good about it. It's this universal acceptance of what everybody really wants to do. That's what the false prophets say. And they say that, by the way, God is cool with all that. You can believe anything you want to. You'll be all over the place with your choices. Here we go. Here's a question. Have I spent enough time in the Word and in prayer to even know the sound of my Savior's voice? Do I know the difference between a wolf and Jesus? Are you spending the bulk of your time drowning out his voice with our TV shows? Huh? Your music collection, your media addictions, the voice of our educational institutions. Oh, that's a big one. I got to get a degree. You don't have to agree with your degree, though. Woo! I got my degree, but I think that's a bunch of baloney. Why? Because I know the word. I don't agree with the degree I have. I agree with the word of God. Do you know his voice? Do you even realize that you will follow another voice by default? That's the key. You can detect the wolf not only by their message or their man-centered message, but here's the other one. And here it is, right here. You have the ability, when you know your word and you follow the Holy Spirit and you're spending time with God, you have the ability to get past the excitement of someone's public teaching and decide to investigate their lifestyle. Now there it really is. After a while, you will hear things about the preacher. Time will reveal all things. You will know what you're dealing with if you are actively looking. For some of us, we sat under teachers for years only to find out that what they were doing in their private life was not something they were even preaching publicly. The Bible says you know their fruit. In other words, he says, check their conduct. Look at their family. What's going on with him and his wife? Look at their kids. There's a whole thing in Timothy that gives us qualifications. Know those qualifications. I heard that they were into this. Why do you keep getting divorced? What's going on with that? Why am I hearing all this stuff about you and your wife? Why am I? Where is she, by the way? Why am I hearing all these rumors about what you're doing? Wolves cannot feed on sheep that are not there. God has given us discernment. Use it. Hold your mind away from the wolves. Here's a summary. If you walk through the right door, you will end up on the right road that will lead to the right destination. If you go through the right gate, you will end up on the right road that will lead to the right destination. Wrong gate, wrong road. Matthew 7, 7, and 8 says this. But before we go there, let me say this. Salvation, people, is not just saved from the wrath of God. Hear me when I say this. I know I'm talking low, but I hear this. Salvation is not just saved from the future wrath of God or the coming wrath of God. Salvation is also being saved from the disasters that you face before you leave here. And that's where a lot of people are defeated. You know, realizing that there is, that Jesus, you were saved, you shall be saved. Without even the presence of sin, when we are glorified. And in this between stage, the church age, you are actively being saved. So the issue is, in the Old Testament, they would say salvation was being, watch this, saved or salvation from your enemies, where God would cause you to win the war. He gave Israel to victory. Praise God, the God of our salvation. Amen? He caused us to win the war. Same thing here. It's salvation in terms of deliverance. Salvation in terms of preservation from danger or destruction. Deliverance from sin and its consequences, and specifically the wolf that will tell you that it's okay to have them. To disbelieve or not believe what Jesus said. And to to take some other religion or some other made-up thought in your own mind, even though you just got here, that you came up with that you think is solid. Huh? Or some lifestyle choice. What you believe, it shapes everything. It shapes what you do. It shapes the choices. See, the false prophet will give you another option to get. He will never tell you to walk circumspectly. When you walk circumspectly, you're careful because you realize that the road is narrow. I got to be careful how I walk. I just don't do anything. I'm not like all over the place because I could slip off and fall and hurt myself. Sheep could be saved and be toe up still. But if you go through the right gate, that voice, Jesus, the voice of the Word of God will tell you, walk circumspectly. That means be careful. Be careful. There is an enemy. And there are people that work for the enemy. And they don't dress up as demons.
No, no.
And they will tell you that this gate is okay and this belief system is okay. If they got people, I told you before, people are erasing hell. Like Jesus never said that. It's all over the Bible. And people are like, well, that's not what it means, because this person that has a degree told me that there ain't no hell. And it doesn't mean that. So I'm telling you, you don't know what you're talking about. This is man-made religion that's just trying to control me. I have freedom. Freedom to go right to hell. I know what I'm talking about because I got the degree.
Okay.
Let me explain something to you. These smart people that erase God's word as if it can be possible. It's a theology of doubt. That's all it is. It's a theology of doubt and conspiracy theories in question. Mm-hmm. And question everything. It's the same thing that happened with Eve.
Yep.
It's the exact same. It's not new, people. Huh? So what you need is not just salvation as in I'm safe now from the wrath of God. He's saying you have salvation where you are safe from the enemy.
That's it.
From the voice of the enemy that will tell you that all of this is just here. It will tell you that there is no God. You know what the Bible says? The people think that there is no God, he calls them fools. The fool says that there is no God in his heart. He says, this wood is just wood. You know, all kinds of things are happening inside that wood that holds this up. And all those elements came from God. Everything. That sky is in its right place. The tree. Have you ever noticed that there's wind blowing the trees and they just move? But you can't see them? You can't see the wind? You don't know if that's angels going. You don't know what that is. Huh? You don't know if there's an angel going. You don't even know. You can't see. The science says, listen, God made science. And over again, they're proving that science is pointing back to the Word of God. People are like, well, evolution. Listen to me. There are scientists that are walking away from the theory of evolution. They say, it doesn't make sense. There was a big explosion out of nothing. And I tell you, R.C. Sproul says, nothing explodes. It's impossible for nothing to explode. How can there be an explosion of nothing? There was darkness, there was nothing. We had an explosion. Who lit the match? Who sent the C4 into the sky? How did it blow up? With nothing. Think that through. And then all of a sudden, everybody just starts doing stuff. Come on. I always get that wrong, but just. What do I do then, Pastor? Matthew 7:7-8 says this. Enter into the gate. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Here's the promise. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And everyone that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What is he promising? He's promising him. He's promising Jesus. He's promising the gate. He's promising the truth. He's giving you weapons against the lie. He's a total package deal from the time you start to your whole eternity. It's amazing what Jesus has done. And he's given it to us. We can't earn it. We don't have the power to do it. So here's the deal. You have to ask God to give you the faith, to give you the repentance, to give you the ability to even desire to knock. I'm knocking until you answer me. I'm seeking until I find that gate. Because the truth of the matter is this. You can't take anything through the gate, but the gate takes everything of you. Because Jesus gave everything. God, help me to seek. Help me to knock. Help me to turn. Help me to seek. Every hand bowed, every eye closed.